Alistair Dobson is the head of the BBL and WBBL, ahead of the WBBL, which starts tomorrow. Alistair, appreciate your time. We're still talking footy, but cricket is on our doorstep.
G'day, Tim. Yeah, cricket's definitely here, and we're really excited about the start of the BBL tomorrow night down in Tasmania.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. All the teams are down there. Now, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid straight off. There's the news come through that it's been reported that Cricket Australia chairman Earl Eddings is stepping down ahead of tomorrow's AGM. How does that affect the crew at Cricket Australia, and in particular where you work and in your department?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Tim. It's not something I can really comment on in terms of board matters. I know there's the AGM tomorrow, which is on. So we just focused on the start of the WBBL, as I said, and the BBL just around the corner as well.
Okay, more will play out on that, I am sure. Let's talk about that WBBL season, of course. All in Tasmania. How's the transition for all the teams going into Tassie worked, and the setup and the hub life and the setup life that is the WBBL at the moment?
Yeah, the teams are down there. I know we had an amazing commitment from Victorian and New South Wales players to do 2 weeks quarantine, 14 days to get into Tasmania a couple of weeks back. So they're there and out and enjoying the best of life in Hobart, and the other teams are arriving and are largely there. So not so much hubs this year in terms of the protocols and the conditions. Everyone's enjoying the best of Tassie life, and then we transition on to WA and South Australia in a couple of weeks' time. So all set up and ready to go.
All righty. Now, the Age is reporting that players and teams have been briefed on behavioural standards in the light of reports around our women's soccer team, the Matildas. How did Cricket Australia, and in particular the WBBL, view those reports, and sort of how serious do you take those matters? Is it is everyone aware of the standards, and has there been a refresher, a course refresher for the players?
I'm not across the specifics around any additional training or education that's happened in the recent period. Obviously, you know, it's an important thing that all sport is mindful of and on top of, and those issues are something that's very important. And Cricket Australia has a track record in promoting and supporting women's cricket, whether that's parental leave or the development of the WBBL, and I guess even the recent announcement yesterday of an increase in salaries for our domestic cricketers. So all really important topics.
No doubt. What about the WBBL and women's cricket in general? And the quality of cricket now is first class. And we know that our national team are outstanding, and there's some quality players in that, and, of course, some quality humans as well. That seems to have lifted the standard at all levels. You must be very pleased with the way that the WBBL standard is continuing to get better each and every year.
Yeah, it's an incredible competition. It's easily the best cricket league in the world for women, and arguably the best cricket league full stop. And I think that's a combination of just the quality of the pathways and development of cricket in Australia, but also the ability to attract the best players from overseas. Obviously, there's a number of the Indian team that are still here after the series recently finished, and they're going to bring another dynamic and dimension to the competition. And it really is phenomenal. We know players from all around the world are clamouring over themselves to get into the WBBL. And equally, I think we saw, last week on the Gold Coast in that series, that the quality and the experience that the WBBL brings to our best players also holds them in good stead on the international stage. So it's a really strong pathway and sets us up really well.
Alistair Dobson, our guest here on Dwayne's World, head of BBL and WBBL. And of course, television coverage is key, as is radio coverage and all media coverage. But it seems that the WBBL has gone to another level. You've got every game, I think, is on Fox or KO or 7 this season. So again, that is wonderful. Does it help having the games? I know that's the downside of COVID, that the fact is we can't get games in certain states. But the fact is that all the games are in certain places and venues, like Blundstone, of course, for this weekend going forward, would help the broadcasters, I'm sure. So that's great coverage on television for everyone to watch.
Yeah, I think it's all part of the same story, Tim, in terms of the quality of the competition. And so not only are the players amazing and the cricket's great, but the audience is there as well. Our broadcasters support the WBBL incredibly well. And they don't just do it because it's there, because the audience is there and they see people tuning in, and to have all games of this year's competition on 7 and Foxtel is just another great development for the competition. And as I said, sets us up really well.
Big Bash starts in a couple of months, and no DRS again, and I'm led to believe, you know, they can't get across the borders, get it all set up. It's an expensive process, I can understand. Seems to be a bit of pushback from the fans, that disappointment for that we had a bit of a struggle last year in regards to some of the quality of the umpiring and some howlers that were made. Can you explain the decision to have no DRS?
Yeah, it's certainly something we looked at for the entire off-season in terms of exploring, understanding the technology, the logistics. I think it's not so much that we don't want it. We think there's a role for a decision referral system, you know, a technology-based decision system in the BBL. Ultimately, with the number of games we play and the number of the number of games in a short period of time across multiple venues, we would have needed five or six sort of independent crews, DRS technology crews playing, you know, operating across the competition. And most of them come from overseas, whether that's the UK or New Zealand. And just the logistics of bringing that number of people in, and then the certainty of being able to move all the equipment and people around the country, just got to the point where we just couldn't have the confidence that we'd be able to get it in a reliable way at all the matches. And at that point, I think we made the call to park it for a year. We'll certainly continue to explore it for next year's BBL. So it's not a matter of deciding we didn't want it. It was literally came down to the reliability and the operations of executing it this year. In the current environment, it was just a step too far.
Adam Gilchrist was on Perth Radio on Monday, and I think he spoke with Adam Voges. In fact, I know he did. Basically, they said, why don't the games still just use the broadcaster's vision to eliminate the howler? Whereas, okay, it's no DRS and there's no snicko and there's no hotspot. I get all that. But why not just use basic coverage of the host broadcaster, which eliminates any absolute howlers? Is that still open to be used, or are you basically saying there'll be no technology at all?
Yeah, I think we look at the options. I think once you remove our view is once you remove technology like ball tracking or snicko as an example, you are then down to a very, I guess, narrow category of dismissals that you can review. So whether it's just the edge onto the pad or Even the edges to caught behind are quite difficult to review without snicko and without some virtual technology. So really, it's a matter of what are you actually trying to solve, and then what are the flow on impacts? If we think we can solve a small number of very obvious errors, what's the impact in terms of the amount of time you're adding to the game? Is it a player referral? Is it an umpire referral? That once you start to sort of work behind the scenes a bit on exactly how that would work, it quickly becomes a question of what are the flow-on impacts. So as I said, not completely out of the question. Our current view is that it would have some unintended consequences that may make it less appealing than on face value, but that's the work still to be done.
Yeah, so if all the teams and all the decision-makers, match referees and umpiring group all got together and said, yes, we think that we could use the host broadcaster vision on obvious claim. We're not talking about every decision you go upstairs every time there's a dispute, but if a player doesn't clearly edge it or isn't caught and it's grassed and we don't use technology, if we've got it, surely it would be improve the result and the quality of the decision making.
Yeah, if it was as pure as that on every example, then that's probably right. But I think as I explained, that there are always ones that happen at the margins, and it really becomes a question of is the ability to solve a small number of errors justified or worth the flow on impacts of what else might come into the game. So as I said, that's the work we're doing now.
Okay, we'll look forward to seeing how that all plays out. There has been some new rule innovations discussed. Can you talk through that one in particular? I like the 75-second rule coming in because when Big Bash first started, players were out there really quickly. Now they really do stretch the lemon, and the game does get a little bit tired in various patches. You're clearly trying to speed the game up, and that's going to open up. I like it. Open up the wicket and get the bowler a free hit.
Yeah, I think it's a trend we see in just about all forms of cricket and all competitions is matches taking longer than they used to, whether that's, ODIs or even the over eights in Test cricket. And from a Big Bash perspective, the pace of the game and that dynamic action is such at the core of what we want to see that, taking a look at how we can reduce the length of games. It has been a real focus for us. That's one, the rule change or the playing condition that you've talked about is one where we just think that the batters can, you know, incoming batter can show a bit more hustle, if you like. We don't expect that there'll be a time where the player isn't able to be ready in that 75 seconds. But if that's the case, it's a pretty unique, consequence that we've worked on. And I think, you know, there'll be a range of other things, not just in the rules, but how we work with players and match officials and our broadcasts to try and keep that really quick, dynamic pace happening.
So, Alistair, is that rule locked in? Is that going to happen, the 75-second rule, free ball at stumps? Is that locked away?
Yeah, that's the playing condition for this season. So, I mean, we're always reviewing them as they go, and, you know, as we did with last year with a few rules that we brought in and review those and look at the data. But that's that incoming batter rule is one we're going to have in place.
When do teams have to have their final squads in? Obviously, you know, we're seeing the WBBL with the Indian players, and there's an influx of Indian players, which I think is fantastic in the franchises. What happens with the men's? When do they have to have their squads locked away, in particular for their import spots?
Yeah, there's a clear contracting end date prior to the competition. I don't have it right in front of me to give you a specific date, but all the clubs are working towards that, and I know they're still, you know, looking at where they've got spots on the list, who might be available from overseas, and obviously there's squads coming out for the Ashes, and, you know, a World Cup happening, so there's plenty of cricket around the world, but I know our BBL teams are watching closely to see who still might be available.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, when you talk about momentum and the BBL, and we're all excited about that. I know I am. I love the Big Bash. We're all hoping that we can get some momentum through our T20 World Cup with Justin Langer and the crew over there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting time with plenty of cricket. I know that's going to give us, you know, with the WBBL happening and the World Cup, and then flowing into probably one of the biggest summers ever with the Ashes and an exciting BBL season. I think cricket lovers have got plenty to look forward to over the next few months.
No doubt. And our Tassie listeners who are listening to the show down in Tassie said you need to find a stadium quick, smart, with a roof, because bad weather is on the way. It's always stock standard, isn't it, for a start of a cricket season. Let's hope it bypasses Blundstone Arena. Alistair, appreciate your time. It's an exciting time for cricket. I think we can't wait. We've had a great AFL season and other sports, of course, but we do love our cricket, and we can't wait for the WBBL and the BBL to be a big part of that calendar. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, team. Thanks a lot.
Good on you. There's Alistair Dobson joining us. Don't forget, you can catch the 2021 BBL season right here on SEM with Big Bash Nation. What are your thoughts there? 1-300-736-736. How are you feeling about the Big Bash and the WBBL this year? And how do you feel about the 75-second rule? So if a player doesn't get to the wicket and face up within 75 seconds, the shot clock runs down. It's not going to happen, surely. It will not happen once. Unless the bloke collapses or falls over before he gets there and can't get to the wicket. Not going to happen once, is it? But it's a nice way of getting the game moving. And technology. So no DRS. But you know where I'm coming from? If you've got it and the umpire misses a howler and there's a third umpire sitting up there and there's no DRS, what's he there for? You know, you just say to him, did he hit it? Yep, he hit it. On your way, champ. Don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out. Let us know, 1-300-736-736, or text away as well.